Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So the Holy Spirit is letting him write these churches, which are in present day Turkey. And if you go to present day Turkey, you will find hardly following these precepts. And then you start thinking about America, how we have stood in the past and how we're declining. But yet, the Word of God is written to them and to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now we could keep reading, but I want us to concentrate this morning on one of those thoughts, a living hope. I want to look at the subject this morning, the security of our hope. And to do so, we're going to make some comparisons. Jesus used earthly example. He talked a lot about heaven, but none of us had been there yet. So he used earthly examples, and he talked about stewards. He talked about the gifts of God given to stewards, and some use them wisely, some bury them. He used the thought of the sower of seed. Some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground. And then we look at the writings of Paul. He talked a lot about races. And as you well know, when you enter into the race today that we have, one, there's one winner, and of course the second, third place. But under the race that Paul's talking about in the scriptures, we're all winners, because we're going to finish the race. And I want to look at the thought this morning about those some comparisons we can look at, because when you talk about a living hope, a lively hope, we use the word hope all the time. I hope it don't rain if you're a farmer and you have just mowed your hay. Or if you've planted your corn successfully and it hasn't rained 2 or 3 days and you need those seeds to sprout to come up, you might use the term, "I hope it rains." So we use that term loosely. It has good meaning, but very little foundation behind it a lot of times. Not so in the precious Word of God. A lively hope. One that is rooted. One that is secure and steadfast. And one that will ever be living. See, every one of us are going to die. And the crops you may plant, they're going to perish. And they may have a successful yielder, they may not, but all those are temporal. So we'll look at some temporal things, and then we'll, because we need to look at hope as though we always use the term, but this hope that we have, it's an eternal hope. It has a foundation to it. Some of you, my hopes, you know, I hope it don't rain, I hope it the sun shines, all that, there's not a lot of foundation to it. So we get plumbered in their minds a lot of time by using the word hope that he used, and we start thinking perhaps, well, hope, I've hoped before for certain things. But you realize the hope that God gives us in the Word of God, it makes us steadfast, it makes us unmovable, it makes us rooted and planted in the Word of God, if we can understand that we have a secure hope in what thus saith the Word of God. To do so, I want to use about 7 different things this morning and look at attributes of that hope he's talking about. We're going to look at the hope he describes, and we're going to make some comparison that maybe some of the hopes we have. I'll use this morning a football team. It's almost football season. We have football players here, and no doubt you've been practicing out in the heat, but there's going to come a cooler time and raining, snow too, when you're playing your football games, unfortunately. But football season is upon us. I'm going to talk about a school, a high school, Hopewell High School. Of course, this is a fictional high school, but some of the points I'm going to be making about will help us relate to the hope we have. Now, this particular team was a high school team, and they were looking forward with great hope to the new season. You see, they had not lost a seasonal game in a couple of years, but unfortunately, every time they went to the state facing those powerhouses, they got beat pretty badly. But this is a new year. We have lost. Hopewell High School has lost no defensive players, and the only offensive player they lost was the quarterback. That's really bad, except, wouldn't you know it, a transfer student had come in. His father and mother had been moved because of their work situation, and this high school senior now that was transferring in had been a quarterback in a different state of a school that had won two national championships. He and Ben, boy, their hope is up. And even more added to that hope, worldly speaking, they have a new coach. This new coach has retired already in a different state, but who is moving in that area to retire. Unfortunately, Hopewell School's coach had been transferred by his own reasoning to a larger place to go to a bigger school. And yet they found out, the community did, that this high school coach that had won championship after championship had moved. He's retired, but what if we can get him? Well, we hope so. And so they offered him, hey, they showed him the team, what hope there is for the team. And so he thinks, well, I'll just add another ring in a different state to my championship, because there is great hope we're going to win this state championship this year because we got all these prospects. And of course, him being a retired coach that knew all the plays, and he knew everything. So let's enter into this. Now, this hope that he's talking about in the Word of God has some things that we're going to measure up against the hope that we're so familiar with, the hope we have based upon circumstances. And maybe, let's look first of all at the source of that hope. The source of their hope was experienced players, experienced coach, and well-conditioned in everything. So everything looks pretty good so far. So let's look at the source of hope we have. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope. This lively hope, the strength of that hope, is God's precious word. God's word will endure. I know men try to change it down here and try to water it down and try to unexplain it and say it doesn't stand, but hey, God's got the original copy. I remember one time in the Word of God where Jeremiah was given some words to write from God, so he wrote them, and they were given to the king, and the king didn't like him, so he took his penknife and cut them up and threw them into the fire. Oh, what a tragedy. What a loss. Not really. Because God spoke again to Jeremiah and said, write again. And wouldn't you know it, the same words came to Jeremiah the right second time as the first time. So regardless of what man does, we still have the enduring word of God. That is the strength of our hope and the source of our hope. It's God's promises. God says that if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, that he would secure us, save us. And the Holy Spirit would rather name the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're told in 1 Peter also that nothing can get into that Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, it has binds on it, and the only person that can open it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb from the tribe of Judah. So we have the source of our hope is God's word and God's promises. And then he gives us that free gift of salvation. And once we believe in him, and we don't even know how to do that. But you see, the source of our hope is the Holy Spirit that will enlighten, that will illuminate, that will cause us to understand. And he alone will transfer the belief in Jesus Christ from our head some way to our heart, and at the same time write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So far the football team is doing pretty good. They have practice. They have played several games, and sure enough, the defense was just like last year, hardly any points scored by the opposing team, and their team is just rolling points along. Everything's looking good. The source looks pretty good. We got the team. We got everything. But they're basing their hope, is the only thing they have their hope of, some resources. But let's look next at the substance of their hope. Now, the substance of their hope is Christ's work and his ministry. He came to the earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He left heaven, the splendor of heaven. He was the creator of God. He was the one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit that spoke it all existence. So we have the strength of our hope is Christ Jesus and his works alone. It will not fail us. Man will fail. Sometimes they had one of those players that was sick. And even though they were well conditioned, but the game time started, and where's the linebacker? Where's the best running back? Oh, he's sick. But you see, in Christ Jesus, the source of our strength, the source of our hope, never fades. He's always on the right side of the Father. He's always listening. He's always caring. He's always looking. And the strength and the source of our hope never changes. And you might say, well, why football? Well, you could use another example. You could use bank accounts and your earthly accumulations. But I personally know some people, and you probably do too, that have been millionaires, and for a set of circumstances or more that they could not control, suddenly they were penniless and didn't have enough money to do anything with, but that never happened. They had a hope of securing even greater wealth than they had. But circumstances happened. So the source of their hope was in their money. The strength of their hope was in the economy that would do well. And both of them can fail and have failed and will fail. So anything down here, football or finances or anything else you put your hope in will fail. But I'm talking about a lively hope, that the source of our hope is Jesus Christ, and the strength of our hope is his ministry, his works, his death, his burial, and resurrection. So far, we're on the winning side, and we can see why he can use that term, a lively hope. But let's look, next of all, a very important thing, the security of our hope. Security of our hope. While the ages roll, and when the moon turns dark, and when the earth is on fire, and when everything happens, and the economy fails, whatever, our security is steadfast and sure. Because Christ Jesus never changes. And we may get sick, and we may perish, and we may die, but you see the real us, the soul that's saved, the spirit that longs to be with God and communicates with God, the hope of that lively hope does not change on anything in the world. Because we have the security in Christ Jesus. Let's go farther in this story about the football team. They've come to the end of the season. As usual, they haven't lost a game. But then, on one of the final plays of the championship in that conference, their star quarterback has won two state championships in a different state. Unblemished record this year. He breaks his ankle. Now we still have the coach. Unfortunately, the coach has been summoned back to his hometown in a different state because his mother and dad now are in severe, sad condition. And regardless of the great hope he has in this team, he has to leave and go back home. See, a lot of things can change. The security of the hope this football had was in the great stars and the athletes and in the coach. But how quickly it can pass away. Pick an example, anything you put your hope in this world. Whether it's football, sports, or whether it's your bank account, or whether it's anything else, it will fail. But he is talking about a lively hope whose source is the Word of God and God himself. Whose strength is the Lord Jesus Christ, and whose security is the blood of Jesus on the throne of God, forgiving our sins. Nothing can change those conditions. No wonder he called it a living hope, a lively hope. Let's read that verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, purchased us, bought us, secured us, anchored us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God we can have that assurance. We do have that assurance. But let's look at three other things about this lively hope. When you have a hope down here, you have to look at some more other details, how great the sovereignty of that hope. If you look at football or anything else, the sovereignty, the thing that God has promised in His Word, the sovereignty of God, He knows everything past, He knows everything present, and He knows everything in the future. He's got it all foreordained. Football games or anything else you choose down here can change so suddenly. Whether it's star athletes getting hurt, whether it's the weather condition. I've heard of football teams that should have won the game, but it was a windy, cold, icy day, and the receivers, great as they were, couldn't hold on to the ball, or just a lot of things can happen. And anything you put your trust in down here, and your hope, no wonder we use that word hope loosely, because without a proper source, without the proper strength, without the proper security, without the proper sovereignty of any hope we have, it can diminish almost overnight. So let's kind of get our minds past the way we use hope. And I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope a lot of different things. And let's look at the way He wants us to use it. This hope has a source, has a strength, has a security, has a sovereignty that God Himself. This sovereignty of God leads us in the paths of righteousness. And the psalmist said that He will ever lead me according to His way, not my way. Thank God for that, because all of us have hope that we can do this, we can do that. But we're not going on our plans, and we're certainly not going on our hopes or our aspirations. If we're trusting God, we're going on the sovereignty of God that knows everything about every one of us, knows our needs. He puts us in the situations we don't understand at the time. We go through trials. We go through disappointments. And maybe He allows that. Maybe He orchestrates that. Maybe He leads us there, because He is the one that is sovereign, and He's the one that gives us courage. Because in these trials, He talks about the trials, overcoming the trials. And in these trials, we learn to trust God more. We learn that our little old hope and their little old thing didn't get the job done. I hope I have health, you may say, to endure and keep building my house, to work on my job. That's a good hope. Keep on having that hope. But if our health fails, that hope could diminish. But the hope we have in the superior one, the sovereign one, doesn't change. And sometimes He will let us go through those trials and tribulations to encourage us and let us see firsthand that He is our hope. The hope, the great hope we have, will fail, may fail, and probably can fail, but hope in Jesus Christ. No wonder He says we have been begotten, we have been born into this lively hope. Looking back through the ages, once we're in heaven, and we look back, former, I don't know how much we'll look back. A lot of us say, when I get to heaven, I'll ask the Lord that, because I don't understand it then. You might. That'd be good. I'm sure if you have the expectation and you ask Him, He'll. But you know, I remember a verse of Scripture that really sets a lot of the boundaries on this. It says, all tears are passed away and all former things are passed away. I think that means to me that what I'm going through now is pretty insignificant compared to eternity with Jesus. And yeah, we'll understand if we need to and want to why we go through trials, why bad things happen to good people. But will it really be important enough to even consider when we all get to heaven? Remember how it is when you're laying on the hospital bed, or when you're hurting, or when you're going through repair of some torn ligament. It seems like you'll never get better, but then you get better and you look back. You know what you are? You're thankful. Told them the other night, every time I go to Mission Hospital, if I have time, and I usually take time, I go to the third floor and I pass down that hall. And I look in that room, wherever, who's ever in there, I don't know them, where I stayed 35 days. And I didn't know if I'd ever make it out or not, except the grace of God. And so now I walk down through there and I thank and I pray. I say, Lord, for the most part, I don't have a pain in my body. And I never would have thought it would have been this well with me, you know, 25 years plus after that. So all the things we go through now, the trials, the temptations, sure they're hard. Sometimes they're life or death. But we have a hope, a lively hope, because we have been begotten by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talked about the security of his hope and the steadfastness of his hope. And this hope that we have surpasses any hope we could ever have in anything else in this world. So next time we go through trials and tribulations, and we are and we will, let's just think that this is not the end. And even so, the hope we have, a lot of people, they say, can recover from sickness. God will help them recover from sickness if they have a hope. Oh, I'm not going to let this sickness get me down. I'm going to trust God to get me something to look forward to. That hope. And that hope sometimes diminishes. But we're reading the examples now about the earthly versus the things of God. Let's look at the sensitivity and the sense of that hope that we have. Look at verse 8 and 9. One reason we have that blessed hope is look at verse 8 and 9. Whom having not seen you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The sensation and the sense of that hope is based upon love for Christ and Christ's love for us. I'm talking about that lively hope that surpasses, exceeds any hope we have in any other thing down here. And we do have a lot of hope in a lot of things down here. He wants us to go through his life. And Solomon teaches that we give thanks for the food we eat and the raiment we have and everything. That's good. And we hope it will improve all those things. But what really makes it make sense is the sense and the sensitivity of that hope is all we have is based on God love me. The mercy of God. How come we were begotten for this hope that passes all temporal things? Because of the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's God that loved us when we were not lovable. And he gave that desire in our heart, that sensitivity, and that sense of longing for a place called heaven. You know, if you've gone through sickness and you hurt, so most of us at one time or other, even if it were a toothache or earache, the pain was so severe that you go through and you just can't foresee it ever getting better. But you have that hope that it will. And that hope that you have helps you endure that for a short time. Hopefully it's a short time. And we look and we have that hope. And we have a sensitivity that we're looking for God and we're thankful during those times of hurt. And we pray more and we seek his face more and we remember his love more for us when he gave us his mercy. And what would it be if you were going through those trying times and you saw your parents dying or a son or a daughter dying or someone you love dying and you saw, and there was no hope. There was no ability to look forward and say that person can go be with the Lord. Regardless of how it turns out down here, we all will die. But it's better farther on. And he gives us that sensitivity and that love, that expectancy. And you can hurt so bad that it doesn't matter if you live or die. I've been there. I didn't want to die, but I sure didn't want to live with that kind of pain either. So he lets us go through that with the sensitivity of that hope. And then lastly, let's look at the superiority of that hope. This hope that he gives us is superior to anything and everything else in this world. Because we measure things, do we not? We measure, well, today's better than yesterday or yesterday's better than that. We measure everything, and that's good. We measure things based upon a lot of different things. But let's look at the fact that superiority that we have because of Christ Jesus loving us. It surpasses any hope or anything you could ever have. The fact that we're in him, he's in us, and a lot of things in America don't look good. I know the commies doing really good now. But then we all have that fear of what if it doesn't do good? And it will probably get worse before it gets better. That we hope it don't. But you see, the superiority of the hope is the fact that there's a hope beyond anything that happens in this world. We have raiment to wear. We have food to eat. For that, we're thankful. You know what would make us more thankful? If we didn't have a warm place to stay at night, if we didn't have transportation, if we didn't have health, we can learn to be more thankful. And God's placed on my heart here lately to start thanking Him for a lot of things. Look how good He's been to us maturely in our church in the past few months. Let's just go back and take a couple of minutes to look and thank God how good He is. I mean, He gives us health. He gives us the offerings are wonderful now in the church. You're giving. Praise God. We ought to be more thankful. We ought to be thankful. And we are. We thank God. He gave us this wonderful, He gave us this piano. Gave us a grand piano out in the old sanctuary. He has given us so much. He's given us workers that have worked hard on the fellowship building and the funds to do it. Stop and think what God has done for His church here at Fletcher in the last year. God has blessed us. You know, when you really start thinking of those blessings, when you start looking to heaven and say, this is just a small taste, what will it be over yonder? If God can increase us and help us this much down here, and He can, and even more, how much more will it be when we obtain that lively hope? I have a hope now, lively hope, steadfast and secure, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I have that security, and I have the strength He has given me. But the real strength is in Him. The source is in Him. The things that we have, the sovereignty of God that leads us. And God knows what's ahead for America. He knows what's ahead for you. So we have that divine sovereignty, the authority of God that He knows everything. He can do anything. He is not limited on any resources whatsoever. And I have that living, lively hope. But the question is, as we're closing the message, do you have it? God wants to give it to every one of us. That lively hope, saved. It's all about salvation. Would you stand this morning? If you are not saved and you can't look to Jesus and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, then all the hope you have is in things of the world. They will vanish away. They will perish. Enjoy them now. That's great. But He's talking about a lively hope whose strength and security and source is from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we ought to be more thankful than we are, every one of us, for every good and perfect gift. Brother